In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, at verse 13, the last verse in the love chapter, Paul wrote, "Now I abide, faith," let me start over, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." In Ephesians 4, at verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, "There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling." In these two verses here, Paul puts together hope and all these other attributes for our learning. I want to take just a few moments this morning to look at that hope, that biblical hope that Paul makes reference to here in these verses. I think all of us desire to reach the place where our hope will be fulfilled. That is, in the presence of God, of Christ, and the Holy Spirit, in the place called heaven. Jesus tells us that there is a place prepared for all Christians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 at verse 9, it reads, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." The Apostle John wrote in John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Now, the more modern translation changes the word mansions to rooms, and I don't have a problem with that, but in light of what chapter 1 in Corinthians verse 9 says, that nothing has entered into the heart of man that would even visualize what God has prepared for us. And John uses the word mansions here, and I think the King James got it right. I think waiting for us is a mansion and not a room, but instead the glory of heaven, the mansions that surrounded it. And I'm looking forward to that day when I'll be able to claim my mansion. One of the things about that is that no one that is a Christian will be left behind. There's room for all who are saved by the blood of Christ. What makes our hope so special is not necessarily the place, although we cannot even begin to comprehend the magnificence of that place, but it's who is there. God himself, Christ, who died for our sins, the Holy Spirit, the redeemed saints of all times, even our loved ones who have gone on before us. There we all will live forever in this place. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 through 18, Paul writes, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangels, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Paul tells us two things here. He said the Lord will return, and none who have been saved by his blood will be left behind. The dead in Christ will rise first, he says, and those still alive in Christ will be caught up to meet him in the clouds. In Psalms 42:5, we read, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him." Hoping in God does not come naturally for sinners like us, and we must preach it to ourselves in order to fight off discouragement and doubt. The best sermon we could ever preach is hope in God. So what is the hope that we talk about here. We need to know not just what Webster might say, but more importantly, what the Bible says. Webster says to cherish, a desire for, a fulfillment of a wish, and a reason to hope. The Bible definition is a confident expectation of what we are promised will happen. That's true hope. A confidence in what we expect from Him, God will make come true. That's what hope is. And ordinarily we express hope, we express a degree of uncertainty, wishy-washy, if you will. But we are told that what God promises, He is able to deliver. We can expect confidently that our hope in God will come to fruition. Hope in God means we can expect great things from Him. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, we read about this hope here when it says, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that we have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise." Paul tells us here, and I think he is the writer of the book of Hebrews, by the way, to persevere in godliness. Don't be slothful, that is, not lazy, idle, or lethargic, but working in faith and persistence, we will inherit the promise of God. Abraham endured with patience and so received the promise that God made to him. And so must we. Perseverance in godliness is a proof of a person's salvation. Isaac, Joseph, Paul, and many others displayed their confidence in their hope. Hope sees the invisible. Hope believes the incredible. Hope receives the impossible. In Hebrews 10:22-23, we read, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. For He is faithful that promised." There, folks, is the hope. Faith and hope go hand in hand. Faith can relate to the present or the past, but when it relates to the future, it's called hope. Hebrews 11:1 states, "Faith is a substance," that is, assurance. "Faith is a substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen." I think the closest explanation of hope versus faith is found in Romans 8 at verses 24 and 25. That reads, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Explanation of hope there. Hope is what a man can't be what a man seeth. For if he does see it, what can he hope for? The hope is no longer available. But if we hope for that which we see not, then we with patience must wait for it. There are two reasons to see the importance of faith and hope together. It helps us to grasp the true meaning of hope. We all know that a biblical faith is a strong confidence. Doubt is the enemy of hope. Doubt is the enemy of faith. Then if hope is faith in the future, we can see more clearly that hope is also a strong confidence and not just wishful thinking. And secondly, we all know that we're saved by grace through faith. Faith is necessary for our salvation. But if we don't speak of hope in those same terms, but maybe we should. Hope is the essential part of faith. Take away our hope, and the definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1 is destroyed. If we have no hope, then is our faith strong? I don't think so. Another point here, you cannot comfort someone if they have no hope. In Romans chapter 4, here God is speaking to Abraham in verse 18. He, that is God, will make him the father of many nations. In verse 19, Abraham considers his body dead, being about 100 years old, as well as Sarah's womb. In verse 20, he did not doubt the promise of God because he was strong in the faith. In verse 21, he was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Abraham had not only faith in God, but he had confident expectation, that is the hope here, that God will do what he said he would do. And if you have your Bibles open to Romans 4, and I don't know whether you do or yet or not, but I want to look at verses 23 through 25 and up into chapter 5 as well, the first two verses. That reads, now, if it is not written for his sake alone, but that he was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, that is, counted, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Biblical hope is not an ordinary concept we use in everyday speech. For such does not imply uncertainty or lack of assurance. And most time we're uncertain in almost all things we do, and we do not have the assurance that what we do is what we ought to be doing. But hope gives us those two things, and it eliminates the uncertainty, and it gives us assurance when it is biblical hope. It is a confident desire for something good that we know by God's promise that will happen in our future. There is a moral certainty in it. So where is that hope found? In Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's the hope. It's in Jesus Christ who has been resurrected. And it should be in ours too, because we in the future have that same promise of a resurrection. In verse 8, Peter continues to expound on our topic. He says, whom, meaning Jesus here, whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, you believe. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That, folks, is the hope of heaven. Hope of joy in Christ Jesus. I close with an exhortation from Paul from the Holy Spirit in Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Very simply, yet very profoundly, hope in God through Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. There, folks, is the true hope. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is the invitation of our Lord. It's not the invitation of us, but instead the invitation of the Savior.